Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Candy's Treasures Entertainment. Tonight, we will be talking about the history of Yule. Yes, our Christian friends are often very surprised at how enthusiastically we pagans celebrate the Christmas season. Even though we prefer the word Yule, our celebrations may peak a few days before the 21st, which is actually on the 21st, which is when Yule occurs. We nonetheless follow many of the same traditional customs of the season. We decorate trees, we go caroling, we give presents, we have Yule logs and mistletoe. Yes, we do. We might even go as far as putting up a nativity scene. Though for us, the central characters in our nativity scene are likely to be interpreted as Mother Nature, Father Time, and the baby Sun God, which the Sun God we refer to as the actual sun. And none of this comes as a surprise to anyone who knows the true history, and that is to be expected. In fact, if the truth be known, the history of Christmas has always been more pagan than Christian, and or any other like holiday or path that you might follow. With its associations of the Nordic divination, the Celtic fertility rites, and the Roman Mercianism. This is why John Calvin and other leaders of the Reformation abhorred it. This is why the Puritans refused to acknowledge it and much less celebrate it. To them, no day of the year could be more holy than the Sabbath. And why? It was, It was made illegal in Boston. The holiday already too closely associated with the birth of the old pagan gods and heroes, many of them like good gracious, please forgive me for mispronouncing these names, but I'm not very good at these. Ocepheus, Theseus, Hercules, Perseus, Jason, Dionysus, Apollo, Mercia, Horus, and even Arthur possessed a narrative of death, birth, and resurrection, which is uncomfortably close to that of Jesus. Furthermore, to make matters worse, many of them predated the Christian Savior, Jesus. Yes, many of these predated Jesus. Ultimately, of course, the history is rooted deeply in the cycle of the year. It is the winter solstice, and this being celebrated, the seed, the time of year, the longest night, and the shortest day, it is the birthday of the new Sun King, the Son of God, but by whatever name you choose to call him. On this darkest of nights, the goddess becomes the great mother and once again gives birth. In addition, she makes the perfect poetic sense to the longest night of winter, the darkest of our souls. There springs a new spark of hope. The sacred fire, the light of the world, the coal coeth. This is why pagans have just as much right to claim the holiday as Christians, perhaps even more so. The Christians were rather late in laying claim to it, and tried more than once to reject it. Yes, they did. There had been a tradition in the West that many bore the child. Wait a minute. That Mary, let me read my notes correctly. Mary bore the child Jesus on the 25th day, but no one could seem to decide the month. Finally, in 320 CE, the Catholic fathers in Rome decided to make it December in an effort to co-opt the Mariathic celebration of the Romans and the Yule celebrations of the Saxons. There was never much pretense that the day they finally chose was historically accurate. Shepherds do not tend their flocks by night in the high pastures in the dead of winter. Hello, think about this. However, if one wishes to use the New Testament as a historical evidence, this reference may point to sometime in the spring as the time of Jesus' birth. This is because the lambing season occurs in the spring, and this is the only time when the shepherds are likely to watch their flocks by night to make sure the lambing goes well. Knowing this, the Eastern half continue to reject December 25th, preferred a movable date fixed by their astrologers according to the moon. Thus, despite its shaky start for over three centuries, no one knew when Jesus was supposed to have been born. Nope, no one. December 25th finally began to catch on by 529. It was the civic holiday, and all the work or public business except that of the cooks, bakers, or any that contributed to the lights of the holiday were prohibited by the emperor. Just, oh my goodness, how do you pronounce this word? Justinian, 563, the Council of Braga forbade fasting on Christmas Day. And 4 years later, the Council of the Tours proclaimed the 12 days from December 25th to Epiphany as a sacred, which Epiphany ends on January 6th, by the way. It was a sacred festive season. The last point is perhaps the hardest to impress upon the modern reader who is lucky to get a single day off of work. Yes, they are very fortunate if they ever get a single day off of work through this holiday season, which is very unfortunate for all of them. And I love every one of you who works so hard to make the season so bright and festive for everybody. Christmas in the Middle Ages was not a single day, but a rather a period of 12 days from December 25th to January 6th. The 12 days of Christmas, in fact. Yep, those are the 12 days of Christmas. It is certainly lamentable that the modern world had taken this approach along with the popular 12th night celebrations. Of course, the Christian version of the holiday spread to so many countries no faster than Christianity itself, which means that Christmas wasn't celebrated in Ireland until the late 5th century. In England, Switzerland, and Australia, it wasn't celebrated until the 7th century. And in Germany, it wasn't celebrated until the 8th century. In Slavic lands, it wasn't even celebrated until the 9th, 10th century. Not that these countries lacked their own midwinter celebrations of Yuletide, because they had their own celebrations, mind you. Long before the world had heard of Jesus, pagans had been observing the season by bringing in a Yule log, wishing on it, and lighting it from the remains of the year's last Yule log. That's right. So if you have a Yule log, remember, save a little piece of it this year to light the new Yule log next year. Now, riddles were posed and answered. Magic and rituals were practiced. Wild boars were sacrificed and consumed along with large quantities of liquors. And corn dollies were carried from house to house while caroling. Imagine that. Fertility rites were practiced. Girls would stand under a sprig of mistletoe and were subject to a bit more than a kiss. That's right. The girls that were standing under the mistletoe actually went a lot further than just kissing, and these were fertility rites. Divinations were cast for the coming spring. This is what the fertility rites were about. It was about the coming spring. Many of these pagan customs fairly watered down form have entered the mainstream of Christian celebrations, though many celebrants do not even realize and do not mention it if they do realize it, that these are the origins. All right, so I want to thank all of you for joining me here today, and I want to take a little break right now, and I'm going to play a little tune for you guys. I hope you guys like the blues, because we've got Charlie Snuggs with the Boom Boom Boogie Blues.
Boy, I was wondering what that sound was. What were we into? Oh, the Boom Boom Boogie, this is called. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. And we are going to continue on. I hope you guys love that a little ditty by Charlie Snuggs, Boom Boom Boogie Blues. And we're talking about Yule here. And we're going to continue on for the history. For our modern, which is Yule, which is from the Anglo-Saxon Yule, meaning the wheel of the year, it's celebrated on the actual winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. This is on December 21st. It's a lesser Sabbath, or what they call a lower holiday, but it is a very important one because this is when the longest night and the shortest day happens every single year. Yes. So, back in the day, before the people actually knew the sun would come up again, people would go and they would ask the sun gods to please bring the sun back because they never knew if the sun was coming back or not. Now, we have the Yule log. The Yule log is very important to all of us, Christians, Catholics, pagans, Buddhists, everybody. The Yule log has been the center of celebrations for who knows how long. It's lighted on the eve of solstice and must be kept burning for 12 hours for good luck. It should be made of ash. Later, the Yule tree replaced the Yule log, but instead of burning it, burning candles were put in place of it. In Christianity, Protestants may claim that Martin Luther invented the custom, and Catholics might even grant Saint Boniface the honor, but the custom can demonstrably be traced back through the Roman Saturnia, I'm very horrible with names, Saturnia, all the way to the ancient Egypt. Such a tree can be cut down rather than purchased, and should be disposed of by burning the proper way to be dispatched. It's a very sacred object. Now, along with evergreen, the holly, the ivy, and the mistletoe are very important plants of the season. All of these do symbolize fertility and evergreen, everlasting life. The evergreen, the holly, the ivy, and the mistletoe, they represent everlasting life. The mistletoe especially was I am so horrible with pronouncing these words. Vetted. I can type a whole lot better, and I do know the meaning of these words, but I can type a whole lot better than I can actually articulate these words. But anywho, mistletoe by the Celtic Druids, who cut it with the golden sickle on the seventh night of the moon and believed it to be an aphrodisiac, must have been the smallest part of the Yuletide menu in the ancient times. As contemporary reports indicate that the tables fairly creaked under the strain of every type of good food and drink. The most popular was the waffle cup, deriving its name from an Anglo-Saxon term, waff, hazel, behold or behail. Medieval Christmas folklore seems endless. The animals would kneel down by the holy night arrives. When the holy night arrives, the bees hum the 100th psalm on Christmas Eve. That a windy Christmas will bring good luck. That a person born on Christmas Day can be seen, can see the little people. Yeah. The person born on Christmas Day can see the little people. That a cricket on the hearth will bring good luck. Well, you know, there's other folklore and old wives' tales about crickets. Like if you have one in your house, someone that was in your house recently is pregnant. Oh, did you know that? Yep, that's an old wives' tale as well. That if one opens the door of the house at midnight, all the evil spirits will depart. Yep, December 25th, midnight, open your doors and tell all of the bad spirits to just go away, spirits, go away. We don't want you here anymore. Okay, and that you will have one lucky month for each Christmas pudding you sample.
Ooh.
So that means you better sample 12 of them. That the tree must be taken down by the 12th night or bad luck is sure to follow you. The 12th night, remember, January 6th is the 12th night of Christmas. So on January 6th, you must take your Christmas tree down in order to be able to have good luck for the whole entire year. If Christmas is on a Sunday, a windy winter we shall see. The hours of the sun of Christmas Day, so many frosts in the month of May. Boy, these are very interesting things. That one can use 12 days of Christmas to predict the weather for each month of the 12 months of the coming year, and so on. Yeah, these are old wives' tales. Remembering that Christmas customs are ultimately based upon older pagan customs, it only remains for the modern pagan to reclaim their lost traditions. In doing so, we can share many common customs with our Christian neighbors and Christian friends, albeit with a slightly different interpretation. We all shall share in the beauty of the most magical of all the seasons, when the mother goddess once again gives birth to the baby sun god and sets the wheel in motion again to coincide with the long overdue paraphrase. Goddess, bless us, everyone. Now, we have the custom of the Yule log, which I've already discussed that. And there are urban legends. There are things, many things to discover. Anubis is the Yule god. He was an ancient Egyptian god of the underworld who guides and promotes the spirits of the dead. But we also have a goddess who does exactly the same thing. And she is Hecate. Well, I only have about a minute left of this show. Please go over and find Priestess Candy Ranson. I'm sure if you Google her, you'll find much more about the history of Yule. And please, again, follow the show. And you guys have a very blessed season. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Bright blessings.
Everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination. This world could show.